Today we have a special speaker from our own church with a powerful testimony as we're leading into this Better series, as we're talking about Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than anything you face. He's great. He's the greater everything. And so we have a great opportunity to hear this today. And it's some of you have heard part of the testimony last year when we did our series called Stories, but we're going to talk a little bit more in depth. And I know, as a matter of fact, I 100% know, because we've been praying together about this, that today's testimony is going to be so powerful that it's not only going to touch people in this room, but you're going to want to get the CD and share it with your friends, because this story is like stories of some of your families. Her story is your story. And so make her feel very welcome, because if you were her, you'd be really nervous at this point. So let's make Delora Roberts feel very welcome as she comes up here to share with us today.
Good morning. I am not a public speaker. First time ever, so all of these papers is not because I'm going to keep you here for 2 hours. It's just to keep my thoughts. So I need lots of prayers this morning. I'm used to speaking to 6- and 7-year-olds in first grade. This is a little overwhelming. Like Pastor Brian said, I did the stories last year, and I felt over the last year that God kept telling me, do something more. And I was like, oh, I did, you know, I did the video, that's it, you're good. And a couple months later, somebody else would say something and it would really hit me hard. And God just kept telling me, you need to do something more. And I kept telling myself, I did. That is not God telling you that, that's you thinking that. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Brian did an altar call and asked people to come forward if they felt God was having them do more with their life. And this time, I couldn't fight it. I finally gave up and came forward. But I still never went to Pastor Brian. I thought, well, I went forward. That's it. So I eventually went to Pastor Brian and said, God wants me to do something. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. I'm praying it's write a book. Praying, it's anything but standing in front of people. And as you can see, obviously that was not God's plan. Like Pastor Brian said, I'm Delora. I teach first grade. My husband Kevin and I, we have 5 kids. We've been going here to church for a couple of years now. And as I was trying to gather my thoughts for all of this and pray, God kept telling me to have faith. Just have faith and I will get you through it. So that's what I'm doing this morning. As a child, I truly had that childlike faith that so many people preach about. Absolutely, 100% believed in God, believed God could do anything. And as I grew older and went through more and more struggles in life, my faith started to diminish. Nothing in my life went as planned. As I look back now, and even as a child, I never planned my life would ever end up the way that it did. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is that hope. I grew up in what I would consider to be the absolute perfect home. We were raised Southern Baptist. My sisters and I, we went to church 3 days a week. We prayed as a family. We ate supper every night, which is, you know, not the norm today. We were in church 3 days a week, and we did mission trips, and we did lay renewals. At about age 9 or 10, we ended up moving from Southern Baptist to full gospel. A little bit of a difference. Around age 10, I was saved, and my dad and my preacher were able to baptize me. At that point in time, I thought life was perfect and nothing could go wrong. At the age of 11, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. We ended up going to Little Rock to do further testing, and the results were not good. They gave her a couple of months to live, and because of that, my dad and sisters opted to not go for chemo and just to bring her home with us. To other people looking in, it may have seemed like that was the end. You know, this is it. To me, I was 12. I still had that childlike faith that, and I knew without a doubt that God was going to heal her. No question. I continued to do normal 12-year-old things. I went to school. I went to basketball games. I came home. My mom was just in a hospital bed in our living room. Nothing out of the ordinary. As her health started to decline, things got harder for my dad and my sisters. Our church family and friends of the community came to our house one afternoon and made a complete circle around and held hands. And I can remember standing in that circle and everyone praying and believing that God was going to perform a miracle. This was it. God was going to heal her. She started to get worse, and the cancer started to take over her mind and everything. But I will never forget her sitting at the kitchen table, and she would have her hands raised, and she would be praising God and saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." It didn't matter that she was in a wheelchair. It didn't matter that she was hurting and only had a month or so to live. All she cared about was praising Jesus. Within about a month or so, she ended up going into a coma right before Christmas. And 5 days after, she passed away. I can still remember my dad sitting on the edge of my bed and waking me up and saying, "Honey, Mom has gone." To me, I was like, okay, got up, I saw her. It was every emotion inside that should have came out went inwardly. And when I stood at the table and I saw my sisters and I saw my dad and I saw how much they were hurting and how hard it was for them, I knew immediately, oh gosh, I really need to fix this. I cannot let them worry about me. So from that point on, I immediately internalized everything, and I became really good at holding everything in, putting on that smile, and faking everything. Less than a year, I went to my first party in the eighth grade. I was introduced to alcohol, and from there, it just spiraled out of control. I was drinking every chance that I could get at age 14 and 15. I had a bottle of alcohol under my bed at any given time. It didn't matter if my dad was home. It didn't matter what the rest of the family was doing. It was there, and it was my comfort. It was my escape. I would sneak out on the weekends. I would look at any chance that I got to go to a party. Even if there wasn't one, I would sneak out and just walk the streets, hoping to find somebody that could pick me up. It started to get worse. But I always managed to make it to church on Sunday morning, sat in the second, third pew, listened to my dad preach, did the things that normal preacher's kids do. But I was one of the worst kinds of preacher's kids. I became promiscuous, and I was looking for something or someone to fill the void that I had in my life. If it wasn't someone, it was alcohol. I can remember one night drinking at the old bridge in town, and I kind of felt like this was it. I'm kind of done. And I crawled up onto the top of the bridge, and I just stood there. And I said, "God, I'm here. Just take me. Please just take me. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of feeling this way. please take me. But he didn't. A few weeks later, I was driving down a gravel road with some friends. Of course, we were drinking. And I opened the car door, and every part of my body wanted to jump out. And once again, I was testing God and just saying, please, would you please end this? This is too hard. It wasn't long after that that I found myself locked in a bathroom with a razor blade. I thought, okay, God, if you're not going to do it and you're not going to let me fall off the bridge and you're not going to let me jump out of the car, I'll find a way to do it. And this time there was no alcohol involved. And I sat there with a razor on my wrist. And I just thought, okay, I really just need the strength. I just need the strength to do this. But God had different plans for my life. I battled depression and anorexia all of my teenage years. I was popping diet pills left and right. If I wasn't popping diet pills, once again, I was drinking. I wasn't happy with myself in any way, inside, outside, family, school, boyfriends, girlfriends. I did not even think to talk to anybody. Back then, it wasn't nobody really talked. I kept everything bottled up, and I thought that was the best thing to do. I don't want anybody to worry about me. That was the last thing that I wanted. I can handle it. I can do it on my own. I've kind of always been that way. I don't need anybody's help. And through all of that, I learned how to hide things very well. And once again, I found myself just putting on a smile and telling everybody that it was okay. At 16, once again, the partying got worse. It was every single weekend. Every Friday, every single Saturday, and church on Sunday morning. After high school, I got pregnant the summer right before I started college. And then once again at age 20, I got pregnant once again. With my dad being a preacher, people in town were talking. Here it is, a preacher's daughter. Two kids out of wedlock, it really started to look bad. So we ended up getting married. We had a lot of struggles off and on, but just a few short weeks after we got married, our house burnt down, and we lost everything that we had, and we were barely able to get our kids out of the house. And I found myself once again blaming God. You know, I've kind of went through all of this stuff, and I'm getting married. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And yet things just aren't getting better. After that, things just really went downhill. There were lots of fights, lots of separations. I was never happy. It didn't matter what I did or what I tried to do. I was never happy. The next few years, we separated, and eventually we ended up in divorce. And I thought, wow, I'm 22. I have two kids, and I'm already divorced. I just felt like my life was a constant roller coaster, and it was completely out of control. Whenever the kids would go to their dad's for the weekend, I found myself once again falling back into the slump of drinking or going to a club, not anything else. If they were gone, it was a given. I didn't have my kids. I was drinking. I still would manage to go to church on Sundays. I tucked my kids in bed at night, and we said our prayers. We did the things that people thought we should be doing. But on the inside, I was still hurting and dying. In September of 2004, I met my husband, Kevin. We were married just a few months later, and we took the kids to church on Sundays to my dad's house. We did what we were supposed to do, what people thought we should do. Within a couple months, we were separated again, and I kind of found myself going down once again the same path. If the kids were gone, I went straight to drinking. It didn't matter if there was one person there to drink or if there was 50 people there to drink. I was drinking. We decided to work things out, and we got back together. And I kind of thought things were really starting to look up. We're going to work on our marriage. We're going to go through a little bit of counseling. We're going to try this. We're going to try that. We're back in church again. We're going to dad's on Sundays. But that was it. God was never first in my life, and I was not looking to him for answers. Then in 2009, my dad got diagnosed with lung cancer. And I really thought, really, God, not again. I have done this once, and it was hard. My sisters, we went through this. Why? Why would you do this to us? But once again, we thought, okay, Dad's a preacher, right? God is really going to perform that miracle on him. And so we prayed, and we believed, and really thought that our dad would be the one standing up and testifying and would be the true miracle, that God had really, really touched him. He wanted to fight, so we ended up taking him to a lot of chemo treatments. And I was fortunate enough that I didn't have to work and was able to help out in any way that I can. In the fall of 2010, Kevin and I found out that we were pregnant. I was not happy. We already had 4 kids. I was taking Dad to chemo. We were busy. We were stressed. It was just not the time in our lives that we needed a baby. Most of the time, there were days that I was still not happy with myself. We finally decided to tell our kids and my dad and my sisters, and the kids were kind of just started to get a little excited, and I finally thought, okay, we can do this. I had come to accept that we were going to have another kid right in the middle of all of this chaos. It is okay. And in October, I had a miscarriage. And I thought, wow, God, why are you listening to me now? You know, I was depressed, I was sad, I was hurting over Dad, and I know that I wasn't happy about having a baby, but now's the time you want to listen to me. Why would you do that to us? And then just when I didn't think that anything could get worse, 2 months later, Dad preached his last sermon from a wheelchair. And I can remember him that weekend. I was at his house, and I remember him saying, "Honey, I'm ready to go home." And I said, "Oh, okay. Daddy, if you're ready, okay. We're okay," because we knew that he was holding on for us girls. And he just needed to know that we were okay to let him go. And 4 days later, he passed away. It was a really rough time for our family. My sisters and I went through hard times. I was once again not happy. I was defensive. It didn't matter what you said to me. I was attacking you. And a month after Dad died, Kevin and I separated. And I found myself once again blaming God. Really? In just a couple of months, you have taken my baby. You have taken my dad and now my husband. Why? Why are you doing this? And again, I found myself falling back to old habits. When the kids were gone, I was drinking. When I had them, we were at church. He would have them. I was drinking. It was a pattern that I never thought I could get out of. As long as I was depressed and I was down and I was hurt, alcohol was my go-to. It was just a couple months later that I found out that I was pregnant. And I had actually had an appointment with an attorney that week to file for divorce. And I'm so fortunate that God did not let my husband give up. And he fought and he fought to keep us together and to keep our marriage together. And at this point in time, I still wasn't really ready. I was still so hurt on the inside. And we had our youngest child and worked on our marriage. We went to church, the same routine over and over and over again. But I still found that I was not happy. I would be at home with the kids during the day, and I would catch myself sitting in my bedroom, laying on my bed, just crying. I questioned God all the time. I constantly asked him why. I was raised in a Christian home. I had what I considered to be one of the most godly parents of any of my friends. And yet he still did this. Why would you allow me to go through everything? What am I getting out of this? And at that time, I saw nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing but heartache. And to everybody else, we kind of put on that smile, and I came to church, and we had our kids, and we did this, and we did that. And on the inside, I just felt like my world was crashing. And we stopped going to Dad's church. It was just way too hard. And we tried a few churches in the area. And the first Sunday, we tried Harrison Faith. Kevin and I both decided this was definitely the place for us. Pastor Thrasher reminded me so much of my dad. And Kevin and I both agreed on that several times, and I just knew that this was the church for us. But it got harder and harder to come to church when the preacher you're listening to reminds you of your dad. I would catch myself crying every Sunday. And not for good reasons. It was just because I missed Dad so much. And I, once again, I was like, God, I am here. You know, we found a church. It has activities for our kids. They love it. We love it. But I don't like coming because I miss him so much. And as we got busy with basketball and this activity and that activity, we slowly started to wean ourselves off of church. And it just got easier and easier. We would miss this Sunday, and then we'd be gone the next Sunday. And before we know it, we would hit once a month. And then if we were lucky, every other month. Until I had finally had enough one night. And I sat down And I just remember telling God, I give up. I'm done. I don't really want to work in my marriage anymore. I'm tired. My kids are driving me nuts. I am absolutely tired. I give up. I don't want to do this anymore. I completely want to check out of life. Whatever that means, God, do it. Because I'm done. And I sat there and prayed. And I told God, I am at my very last straw. I am giving up completely. And in that moment, God told me to keep going on. And so I did. And from then on, I would wake up in the mornings and I would immediately just start thanking God. I thought, I don't know any other way to do this. I'm just going to thank God for the things that I've got. And so I would pray in the mornings. I would pray on the way to school. Sometimes I'd even know what I was praying about. I would just tell God, thank you. Thank you for my kids some days. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my job. And it just got easier and easier. And I decided that my entire life, I have tried to do everything myself. I want to fix this. I don't need your help. I can do this. And it never worked. When I finally started putting God first and just started thanking God for the good things that he had done in my life, I started noticing good all around me. And I started realizing how truly blessed that I was. And I can honestly say that I have not been happier with myself, with my marriage, or with my kids since that day. God has truly changed my life and blessed our family. And now I see it in the smallest of ways. Earlier this year, my son was playing basketball and had a horrible fall on his neck. And as I sat there and I saw him just laying, I just prayed, God, please just let him move something. I don't care if it's his fingers. I don't care if it's toes. I don't care if he's in a wheelchair the rest of his life. I just want him to move. And it was a few short minutes, and I heard people around me praying. And in a few short minutes, he got up and he walked off the floor and was playing at his next ball game. And there is nobody that can do that except God. And I'm here to tell you that God is love. And I promise it does not matter what you have done in your life. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And I really think that a lot of people want to try God out, like a trial period of Netflix. I'm just going to test him out for a while. I'm going to try like a 7-day or, you know, a month period. I'm going to try God out. If it doesn't really work out for me, then I'm good. And I think the first bump in the road that we see, a lot of times we want to just run and say, well, that's not what I thought it was supposed to be at all. I thought God was supposed to make your life fabulous and it's supposed to be this picture perfect life. You know, I got in a fight this morning. I'm out. You know, why do I need to go to church? I had fights before I started church. But God never promised for us to have a perfect life. He promised us eternal life, but never a perfect life. And just because I'm putting God first and I'm happy in everything that I do does not mean that I don't have struggles. Do my husband and I fight? Yes. You can ask him. Do I yell at my kids? Mm-hmm. Please don't ask them. I have bad days. Just because you put God first in your life. Just because you turn to God for things does not mean you are not going to fight. It doesn't mean you are not going to have hardships or struggles or death. It just means God will get you through it. And it means God has truly gotten me through things so much faster and so much quicker than when I was trying to do it on my own. I am not in a bad mood all the time. Again, please don't ask my kids. I'm not depressed. Before, I looked for every reason to fight. It didn't matter if my sister said something to me. I was defensive, and I was ready to jump. Kevin could disagree on one small thing with me, and I was ready to pounce. I looked for fights. I felt really, really comfortable fighting. That was my defense. Since then, I'm able to bite my tongue. Believe it or not, I'm really biting my tongue. And I'm able to forgive people so much easier. Things that I may have carried for years and just hatred, I can forgive now because I have God truly living inside of me. Not what I thought as a 10-year-old was God living inside me, or what my parents told me God looked like living inside me. It was truly what I had to do to put God first. I could stand up here all day long and give you scenario after scenario after scenario of all of the wonderful things that God has done to bless us. And if you ever, ever think, well, this is all God has planned for me, this is it, I encourage you to dig deeper. And I encourage you to pray that God show you what else he has in store for you. Because during those difficult times, I really, really questioned God and asked him why. And I was mad at God, and I told God I hated him. And I can honestly say that I believe God had a purpose for all of those trials. And it is where I am standing today that I can stand in front of each and every one of you and tell you that God is good. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So I ask you, if you find yourself feeling angry all the time, if you find yourself feeling depressed or with addiction or turning to alcohol, maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's not even you. Maybe it's a family member that's going through something. Whatever your struggle is, I encourage you to give it to God because if I hadn't, I have no idea where I would be today. And I can promise you, I probably would not be here with my family. For years, I turned to worldly answers, and that got me nowhere. And I never found that true happiness until I turned to God. And it has taken me well over 20 years to get to where I am today. And I know God still has so much work to do in my life. And I know He is just getting started. So it doesn't matter your age or your struggle or your trial. God is good. I don't know what else I can tell you this morning other than God is good. If God can get me through the death of a parent at an early age, thoughts of suicide, drinking, promiscuity, teenage pregnancy, divorce, miscarriage, death of another parent, and separation. And I can still stand and tell you today that God is good. I promise He is. He truly is. God can truly help you overcome anything. He loves you, and He will take care of you if you just turn your eyes to Him.